the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience begins. Prepare to meet your fate.
He's right.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
And thanks for tuning in. I know it is a football day and a lot of people want to watch the Cowboys and the Packers, but if you found the time to tune in, I appreciate it. This is the What Are You Reading comic book show. I'm your host, The Surfer, and I'm going to give you some comic book news or take your call on Skype if you'd rather just call in and have a discussion about comic books, because that's really what this show is about. And so, of course, if you want to join me on Skype, you just add in the contact SilverSurfer_forever. I'm going to be working on getting a phone number soon again, so that if you want to call on your phone, you can do that also. And, so we're in the second week of the year 2017. And there are many ways you can listen to this show here on Rant EM Radio. Of course, you can listen live in the chat room, which you can also type comments if you're not playing around. You can listen to it on Podbean, TuneIn, Stitcher, Facebook, iTunes. And, of course, this show is put up for archives, so you can listen to it anytime you want or download it through whatever device you have to listen to while you're on the road. And so, let's get to some box office. Down to number four is Rogue One. It was number one for a good 4 weeks, but now it has dropped all the way down to fourth place with another $13 million. Its domestic total was $498 million. I believe that makes it the number one movie of 2017 domestically. And then everything else is way, way down, so it doesn't matter. Underworld came out last week, and nobody cares about it. It only brought in $5 million this week. Well, actually, I don't know what I'm talking about, because it is making money overseas. It brought in $23 million after 2 weeks with a budget of $35 million. So maybe we'll get another Underworld movie. Maybe this will be the last one. Who knows? Who cares? Now, let me change some settings on my Skype. Then, of course, like I said, if you want to call in, feel free to do so. Take any caller you want. We can talk anything have to do with comic books or related to comic books. What is the first news article I'm going to go with? Been having problem with my browser as of late. So it takes a few minutes for the stuff to load up. So we're all waiting on the Black Panther film, which should be out in a little over a year. It's going to be out in February of 2018. So one of the things the Black Panther film is going to have is him flashing back to him going to school in America. Of course, if you didn't know, the Black Panther, even though he is a African monarch of Wakanda. He was educated in America and in quite a few other places, and he is one of the smartest people in the Marvel Universe. And it says, after joining the Marvel Cinematic Universe in 2014, actor Chadwick Boseman finally made his debut with Black Panther: Last Captain, which we know. The film would... I don't want to read that part. Here we go. According to East Bay Times, the Oakland, California-based ACT Transit Publication Agency had granted Marvel Studios permission to use the 1990-era's logo in the film. The newspaper asserts that the Black Panther will feature flashbacks to the 1990s to T'Challa's one-time St. Mary College High School, requiring the use of an AC transit bus. That, of course, isn't entirely unsurprising, as in the comic books, T'Challa traveled to the United States for school under the alias of Luke Charles. So, they're sticking to... the origins of the comic book, which is why Marvel films are successful. Because if you've not read the comic books and you see characters and the situations show up in these movies, well, they're not just being made up for the movie. They are being taken from the history of these characters so that, they can stay true to what made the character likable. I know there's been talk for a long time about having Bruce Wayne on TV, having a Batman series, and we haven't had one since the 66 Batman show. And at one time they was going to do a young Bruce Wayne, which then turned out to be Smallville, because it evolved into Smallville. But it was supposed to originally been a show about Bruce Wayne growing up, learning to become Batman. And we even have Gotham now, which, quite a few people dislike, but it still has Bruce Wayne as a child. And even though in that situation, he's not doing anything to become Batman. Well, we're going to have a Wayne on a new TV show, but it won't be Bruce Wayne. It's going to be Bruce Wayne's cousin. Apparently, in the new TV show Powerless, which is coming out in February, which is about a company that deals with, of course, the real-life collateral of superheroes and them taking on villains. Well, Bruce Wayne's cousin, which I didn't know he had, Van Wayne, I think that's a combination of him being, of course, Bruce Wayne, and then having to do with the Green Hornet because of the name Van. He'll be running the company, which everybody works for on Powerless, that will try to make items to, keep you safe from superhero collateral damage. It says that Emily Locke, who's played by Vanessa Hudgens, lands a dream job as director of research and development for Wayne Security in Charm City, home of superheroes and villains, and citizens fed up with the collateral damage of the constant fighting. Full of confidence and big ideas, Emily quickly learns that her aspirations far exceeds her new boss and office mates, as it will be up to her to learn to lead the team towards full potential and realization that you don't need superpowers to be a hero. Now, of course, the person playing Van Wayne will be Alan Tudyk, who did the voice for the latest Star Wars movie, and is a very popular actor amongst the geeks and the nerds and so forth. The pilot should be coming on TV. What day is it? I think it's February 6th. So, I don't know if it's going to be good or not. I hope so. And I'll let you know when I actually get a chance to watch the pilot episode. Now, they're supposed to be doing an Inhuman movie. And now it looks like they're going to be doing an Inhuman TV show instead. And part of the reason is because so many more movies got added to the list of films they're going to do between now and 2020, including this summer's Spider-Man Homecoming, which, of course, everybody's looking forward to because he's Spider-Man. And it's Marvel doing Spider-Man, and it's making him part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I was about to say DC for some damn reason. So, all right, come on, open up browser. All you Dallas fans out there, Cowboys are losing so far. All right, so it says, Inhumans characters revealed in call sheet. And it says here that the hashtag show has informed from a source close to the production, which includes 7 character breakdowns for the series regulars. While the descriptions are joined by fake names, a little research shows that closely match the characteristics of prominent members of the royal family, which of course is the main inhuman characters you read in the comic books, like Black Bolt and Medusa and so forth. If you're familiar with the Inhumans from the Marvel comic books, the hints of these descriptions will sound very familiar to Black Bolt, Medusa, and the rest of the unique clan. So here are the 7 characters. Broderick, male, 30 to 40, Caucasians can save volumes with just a look. Strong, thoughtful, and private. He's unaccustomed to being questioned or feeling the need to answer anyone to an extent converge on arrogance. Majora, female, 30 to 40, Caucasian, elegant and intellectual advisor to her husband. She struggles to find her place outside of their relationship, and others tend to view her as just a pretty face, strong and willful. She's not afraid to break the rules when the situation demands it. Let's see, there's a guy named Marty. He's a male, 30 to 40, Caucasian. He's a Roger's younger brother, so that's probably Maximus. Kevin, male, 30 to 40, says open, slight of build. His mind is the greatest asset, so that's, Karnak. Grady, male, 25 to 35, impetuous and brash, has a serious impulse control issues which frequently gets him into trouble. Christine, male, 18 to 25, plays 18 Caucasian, soulful but learning her ways in the world. That's probably Crystal. The last person is Timothy, male, 25 to 35, requires supremely athletic, the ultimate picture of cool, calm, under pressure, and willing to do anything to get the job done. So, let's see. It says here, Broderick would be Black Bolt, of course. Majora's Medusa. Marty is Maximus. Kevin is Karnak. Grady is Gorgon. And Christine's Medusa, younger sister Crystal. So, yeah. So, let's see if they can pull off this Inhuman show or not. But let's get to some Deadpool news. Director Tim Miller is nominated for a Director Guild Award. Now, it was a big deal that Deadpool got nominated for quite a few nominations for the Golden Globes. But let's be honest, people. Deadpool's not going to win any awards other than, like, maybe MTV Movie Awards. They'd probably clean up on that unless they find something silly to give it to, like some Twilight spinoff. But it's still cool that, you know, they're recognizing Deadpool for his accomplishments. But these award shows, they're not going to give a superhero movie any awards because they don't see them as movies. Or legit movies, because the fact they still call them superhero movies is all the evidence you need. And so even like critics, you know, when they judge these movies, they don't judge them the same as they do regular movies. And at this point, if you look at the top 10 of movies last year, 5 of them were superhero movies. So you know, the popular opinion is superhero movies is what the people want to see. And it's really six if you include Star Wars. And then the other four was animated features. So, but all these other movies that they call real movies, they weren't in the top 10. They weren't nowhere near the top 10. And this is a story that, hold on, let me check the chat room while it opens up. Sorry. No questions in the chat room. Okay. This is a story that when I posted it on Facebook, it caused up a lot of conversation amongst people. David Goyer to rewrite A Green Lantern Corps, John Stewart is confirmed. Now, the reason why it caused a lot of conversation amongst people is because of the name David Goyer. And it seems like he's too many times are involved with comic book movies, and not all of them have been well done. And yet people still keep going to the well for him. I've never read a comic book by this man, so why is he always writing the comic book scripts? It says here, there finally appears to be some forward momentum on Warner Brothers Pictures' Green Lantern Corps movie, as Deadline reports that DC film starlet David Goyer, of course, he wrote the Dark Knight trilogy, he didn't write it by himself, Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, will pen the screenplay alongside Justin Rhodes, who wrote Contract Killers. It also been confirmed that the longtime comic book character John Stewart will make his feature film debut in the DC Extended Universe. Of course, he's known as the Black Green Lantern. Now, a lot of you may have grown up with the Justice League cartoon, and that's your Green Lantern, which is cool. But he wasn't the first. It says, DC Comics' first African-American superhero, Starlet, was created by Dennis O'Neill and Neil Adams in 1971, has long been rumored to be choice part for Tyrese Gibson. That's a fucking mistake. Of the Fast and Furious franchise, also no formal offer has been made public. The story of Green Lantern Corps has been described as a buddy cop movie with Stewart and Hal Jordan, the latter previously played by Ryan Reynolds in the 2011 Bond. Now, I can get them doing a Green Lantern buddy cop movie, but try to make it more original. I mean, I saw them describe it as being like a Lethal Weapon. And we don't need them to copy some other movie franchise. So, and honestly, if you want to do a real buddy cop Green Lantern, and you want John Stewart, I get, you know, you want John Stewart because he is a vital character in DC. But make it closer to the Green Lantern cartoon that came on a few years ago, where the other partner was Kilowog. And so make it John Stewart and Kilowog. And you don't have to use Hal Jordan, or you can use Hal Jordan in the Justice League movie part of the DC universe. Or maybe Kyle Rayner and or what's the other guy's name? I'm blanking on him. But there's another Green Lantern in it that's and he's considered a dick, but a lot of people like him. But if you're gonna do Hal Jordan and John Stewart, that's fine. But come up with something original as far as them being partners. Don't try to copy something we've already seen, because that's just gonna turn people off. Especially if you're gonna make it like Lethal Weapon. The Lethal Weapon was something unique when it came out at the time. We don't need to see that in the Green Lantern movie. So, yeah, do us a favor. Step away from that. Now, the Justice League movie, of course, is coming out on November 17. Flash is supposed to come out in 2018. And Aquaman, Shazam's 2019. Green Lantern is not supposed to come out to 2020. So that's a long way off. Trump's going to, you know, I'm not even going to get into that joke now, so. And we'll move on to the next story. This got a lot of people excited. Peter Dinklage is reportedly joining the Avengers. Now, of course, we all know Peter Dinklage, fine actor, part of Game of Thrones, and, you know, shows up in a lot of movies, and for a small person, you know, he is a great actor, you know, he's not caught up in the stereotype roles that most small actors play, because he does come across as a great actor. And I'm thinking, if he's going to be in Avengers, he's probably going to play Pip the Troll, which would probably make sense if you're dealing with Thanos. And if you're going to deal with Thanos, you need to get in some of the supporting characters. Like, I'm really hoping Adam Warlock is somehow brought into this movie. We've seen this cocoon a couple of times, but if you're going to have Thanos, then you got to have the man who's best at stopping him, which is Adam Warlock. And then you bring in Pip. You already got Gamora. You already got Drax. So you got most of the Infinity Watch on screen now. You just have somebody play Moondragon, and you've got everybody you need to help stop Thanos. So it says here, joining Avengers Infinity War isn't just for basically everyone who ever starred in a Marvel movie anymore. It's also at least for one Game of Thrones star. Variety reports that Station himself, Peter Dinklage, may be eyed for a key role in the upcoming two-part mega sequel. The nature of Dinklage's reported role is not known, but Marvel has no comment, and at present, and all this is a warning shot. Now, Peter Dinklage was in X-Men Days of Future Past, and he was pretty good in that movie. He played one of the villains in there. So he knows how to do comic book movies. So, like I said, I hope they make him Pep the Troll. I've always liked him as a character. Let's see. Where are you, Dr. Doom? You haven't called in a couple of weeks. Watching football. You shouldn't be watching Dallas. You are a Redskins fan. Dallas is losing. Let's see if they can make a comeback. Anyway, it's 14-3 Green Bay. Game's nowhere near over, but you never know. Alright, so Woody Harrelson, who of course been around for a long time, plays plenty of different roles, is confirmed for the Han Solo movie. And it says here, Lucasfilms has confirmed that veteran film and television actor Woody Harrelson has joined the Han Solo movie, set to arrive in theaters next year. Harrison, known for a wide range of films and TV such as Hunger Games, No Country for Old Men, True Detectives, Cheers, Zombieland, will join Alden Eldridge, who's playing Han Solo, young Han Solo, Donald Glover, he's playing Lando Calrissian, and Emilia Clarke in The Adventures. The Star Wars story is the second in a series of films that lives outside the Skywalker family saga and is set during the early scoundrel days of the iconic characters prior to A New Hope. So it looks like Lucasfilms, you know, they're going for the top actors they can find that'll do these movies. We're almost out of stories. See, it wasn't that many stories to do this week, so. Of course, when the stories run out and there's no calls, then I say goodbye. And I know that makes a lot of people happy. Well, you can be happy all you want. At my misery, I don't care. I'm going to keep on reading comic books anyway. Speaking of comic books, The first issue of the, it's not the first issue of Thor, but they're kind of naming it the first issue because it is a new story arc, and it's the Shi'ar Asgard War. Now, the Shi'ar is an intergalactic empire, and they're kind of tied into the X-Men part of the Marvel Universe, but, you know, other books use the Shi'ar from time to time, and they're going to war with the Asgardians. And the first issue, they came and captured a female Thor, and she wanted to know why, and they're like, well, here's why. Bow down to our gods, and you meet the Shi'ar god. So, of course, you can't attack Asgard without them coming back to whip your ass. So, we're going to see where this goes, because I'm hoping that the Shi'ar get their ass whipped in this series, because they should have killed Asgard in the first place. And they wouldn't have if Odin wouldn't be such a bitch right now, because his wife, who he abuses half the time, seemingly was stabbed by Loki, and he's using his powers to keep her alive, and he's not doing his job of running Asgard, and he's leaving it up to his evil brother, Kull, who, of course, doesn't know how to really run Asgard. He never ran Asgard because he was locked away way before it ever came up to him to run Asgard, so he doesn't know how to run a kingdom. So it says it's George Lucas Museum to be built in Los Angeles. It's official, the George Lucas Museum will be built in Los Angeles, announced from the Lucas Museum narrator, Arts of Directors, as follows. After extensive due diligence and deliberation, the board of directors of the Lucas Museum of the Narrative Arts is pleased to announce plans to build a museum in Exposition Park in Los Angeles. We would have been humbled by the overwhelming positive support we received from both San Francisco and Los Angeles during our selection progress. Settling on a location provided to be an extremely difficult decision precisely because of the desirability of both sites and cities. The board wishes to extend a special thanks to Mayor Ed Lee, San Francisco Board of Supervisors, for their tremendous efforts and engagement. While the location offers many unique and wonderful attributes, South Los Angeles Promise Zone best positions the museum to have the greatest impact on the broader community. So, if you think George Lucas is getting a museum just for Star Wars, you'd be wrong, because whether you like his movies or not, he has contributed a lot to the film industry with technology and special effects. Industrial Light and Illusions, of course, works on many films as far as special effects. And he originally started Pixar before they became Pixar. So you have to give him credit for that, too. And if you're a Pixar fan, well, you got to give George Lucas his due on that, because he came up with that company before he sold it off to become Pixar. And, of course, he's done a lot in sound technology. Most movies you hear, you see the TLX or TXL, whatever it is. You see the logo in the movies. That's to what he came up with, you know, to improve sound quality in films. So, it's going to cost $1 billion to make this museum. And I think a lot of people are going to be willing to travel to see it once it's done. Because assuming that we're all still alive, you know. But all right, let's see. Now, TFG510, hey, how are you? Thanks for listening in the chat room. If you want to call in, you can call me on Skype at Silver Surfer _forever. We can talk comic books. Let's see. I think I'm down to the last story. Yeah. A Cars 3 trailer came out this week, so if you want to actually see that, you can look at it on my Facebook page, which is the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. All you gotta do is follow that. I do keep that up to date daily with news. And, okay. As soon as this browser opens, I will give you the last news story of the day. And then I'll let you get back to watching some championship football. We'll eat your dinner. We'll hug your kids and kiss your wife. And just go out into the cold or the warmth, wherever you're at. And of course the browser wants to, here we go. Now, so if you got some kind of digital device, there's a program you should have on there. It's called Hoopla. And what that is, it allows you to take out stuff digitally from the library, like books and movies and audio music and audio books and so forth. I have it on my tablet. I don't get to use it as much as I would like, but and the reason why I'm talking about it, because it says here DC Rebirth titles available free on Hoopla Digital. So if you got a library card and at least one of the 1300 public library systems that work for Hoopla Digital, you can read a number of DC Rebirth collection volumes for free. The available titles include Green Arrow Volume 1, Death and Life of Oliver Queen, DC Universe and Rebirth Deluxe Editions, and Superman Volume 1, Son of Superman. Hoopla Digital partners with public libraries across North America to provide online, mobile, and access to movies, TV shows, music, books, I told you all that, ebooks, audiobooks, and comics. Patrons can borrow, stream, and download a content with a valid library card. So basically, it lets you do like 10 a month. So, you know, if you want to read a comic book, in this case, or, you know, listen, watch a movie. They do have a wide selection of movies you can watch and books you can read. And I've known that they've had quite a few DC titles on there. It, you know, now with the Rebirth, which is, of course, the reboot of the DC Universe, you can, if you haven't had the money or the time to read these books, and now you can. So you can be up to date, and you can act like you've, oh yeah, I've been on this all along. And you're lying, but who cares? You're reading, and that's what counts. Reading is fundamental, damn it. And so, I think we're done with the news, which is going to make this a very short show, which is fine by me, because I don't care, and just go back to being alone anyway. So, with the news out the way and no one calling me this week, I'm going to tell you about the other fine programming. Well, sorry, let me check the TGF. If you want to call in and talk about the Mr. Bean comic, I'll take your call. I'm not a fan of Mr. Bean, but I don't mind. This is Surfer Watch More on it. It wasn't a good movie. It was all kinds of ripoff of Lilo and Stitch. I don't agree with you on that. I think Moana was a fantastic film. Maybe it wasn't the most original story, but that's fine. I mean, it doesn't have to be original. It just has to be good. Before I get into different shows, I want to tell everybody that listens to Rant EM Radio that there's a Royal Rumble contest for all the wrestling fans. You can enter on the page here and give your name and what happened on Royal Rumble weekend. There's Double A, who owns this network, but he's not the boss, me. He will draw names out of a hat and assign you a number between 1 and 30. If your wrestler wins, and that'll be determined, of course, when he comes out, So if you got, like, say, 27, and that's the number that's won a lot of Royal Rumble, and that, let's say that, 27 this year is, you know, Brock Lesnar, and he wins, then you win the prize that WWE was giving out. Now, in the past, he's giving out, giving people, like, a chance to program a show for a day. He's giving out gift cards. So, you know, it's a nice prize involved. Now, as far as the shows here on radio, I'm not quite sure when all the shows come on, but I'm going to try to go through this anyway. We have a new show here on Rant EM Radio, The Shining Wizards. And then now, live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. And then, of course, The Rant, which was live at 8, is now moved to 9 p.m. on Tuesdays. So you get a doubleheader. I know a lot of people are used to doubleheader Tuesdays. So it's backing away. Thursdays, you get a doubleheader of Thumbstick Ninjas, followed by Rant and Wrestling. Fridays is Tom Buckle Throwbacks at 9. And Saturdays at 11 is the Wrestling Call-In Show. And then, of course, we'll be back next Sunday at 5 p.m. for the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. And we also have the Royal Rumble in a couple weeks coming up. That'll be in 2 weeks, 2 Sundays. And we'll also have a Super Bowl special on February 5th. So that'll be in 3 weeks. So we give you a little variety around here. Now, I'm not sure when the Royal Rumble show will take place. It'll probably preempt me 2 weeks from now if it comes on at 5. If not, then I'll do my regular show at 5, and then we'll get a Royal Rumble show at 6. So, that's all I have to say. I do. Of course, I like it because The Rock's in it. You know, that's my suit. That's my hero. But, so why? I still like the movie. And a lot of people did too. Most of the animated features that came out this year were good, so it's all a matter of taste, you know. Opinions don't matter in the end. Anyway, thank you for listening, and we'll see you again next week for another episode of What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. Until then, good night, everyone, and peace.